I'm Richard Porter.
And I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends struggle to talk about cars this week. This is really sickly and sickly, isn't it, this week?
Yeah, I urge you not to make me laugh very much because I've got a cough that's one of those ones that once it gets tickled a bit, it starts dieseling,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my worry is that you'll shut the ignition off and it'll just keep going and it's actually quite painful.
Yes. Yeah, like my mate's old Mini used to do.
Oh, the running on. Did it keep running on?
It was a bastard for running on sometimes. And it wasn't that old either. This is in the 90s and it was a 90s Mini. But oh well, oh, this is a
gosh, I've got to really navigate. It's so ticklish the throat. Got to really kind of talk around it if I can. I'm trying to. If I sound like I'm talking quieter than usual, it's because I am. I'm trying to channel my late night DJ where I don't sort of aggravate my tonsils too much.
We should explain then. You've got COVID-19.
Apparently, yeah.
And
I'm still not fully convinced I have, but we'll see.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Terrible flu.
Oh.
It's about the same, but with no sense of taste.
But, so, yeah, you've got some kind of lurgy that may be the fashionable coronavirus that's going around and that the kids are talking about. I'm not actually that sickly. I think I have got a tiny bit of a cold, but also I had to get to the dentist a couple of days ago, and I have got to go and have a root canal thing done because I've had really bad toothache for the past fortnight and it's not been very pleasant. But I also got a massive bollocking from the dental hygienist for brushing my teeth wrong, which may be some of the cause of this.
And now that's interesting.
Well, it turns out that if you have an electric toothbrush, you don't use it the way that I've been using it for about, I don't know, 10 years or something.
What were you doing wrong exactly?
I mean, there's something that I knew was wrong but couldn't stop doing it, which is it's almost because it's programmed in. I was not letting the brush do the work.
You were moving
it
around manually.
I'd be kind of moving it around a lot like an old-fashioned toothbrush.
Yes, that's common.
And I know that's wrong, but I was still sort of couldn't help doing it unless I really thought about it.
Yes.
But then in league with that, I was foolishly applying the toothbrush to my teeth. And what you should actually be doing is holding it at almost 45 degrees and letting it scuff along your gums as well.
45? I'm trying to...
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but basically you don't just hold the brush flat to...
Flat to your teeth.
You hold it at an angle. This is how she showed me to do it.
Because they're quite soft then, bristles, I've noticed, on electric toothbrushes.
Change your head, your toothbrush head regularly as well. I mean, obviously, you're supposed to do that.
It's like that song by Kim Basinger and...
Kim Basinger?
Change your head. Who did that song? I remember it. Let's Go to Bed.
Basement Jacks?
No, it wasn't. No. It was better than that. It did have Kim Basinger in it. I'm kidding you.
Kim Basinger, the actress?
Yeah, she was... Yeah. Let's Go to Bed. Let's Go to Bed. Hang on. I'm not making this up. Shake Your Head, featuring Kim Basinger. Let's Go to Bed.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, this was in about 1990...
So did she do it? Wasn't she going out with Prince around then? Or was that earlier?
Gosh,
around the time of Batman?
I don't even know.
She went out with Prince for a bit, yeah.
Was she?
Yeah, and I thought they were recording some stuff together. There was a story once in a magazine that said that she used to go into the studio at night with Prince, and she was sort of staying at his place, and they would make some music. But then one day, Prince's engineer came in the next morning, and the mixing desk was covered in honey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is never going to come off. Imagine all the gaps that it will seep down.
Also, there's so many places for it to go as well. You could write off a very expensive mixing desk.
Prince would be just like, do you know what? Don't talk about it. Just go and order another
one. Just get another one. Yeah.
Have that one sent to my studio. I'm going to hang it from the ceiling and throw feathers over it. It's a piece of modern art.
He comes in one morning, "You're right," to his engineer, and he's like, "No, I'm not happy actually, Prince. We've got a massive wasp problem in the studio now because of your laissez-faire attitude to sticky sweets."
Also,
products.
Can I just say that honey, that's not going to work, is it? Is it?
Well, it depends what sort, but yeah, sticky.
As a sort of, I don't know, an arousing food stuff on the body. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm certainly not. I'm not an authority on the subject.
A friend of mine, he was doing some things with a lady, and I think jam.
Stop
and
it.
He's
Stop
quite
it.
A big lad.
Stop
and
it.
And she was quite small, and she fell. He was lying on his back. She fell asleep lying on top of him. On her front, and then woke up and sat back, and the jam had formed a glue-like substance, and it ripped all his chest hair out.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he was busted by another friend of ours because they were staying in a hotel on a work trip, and they went down to the swimming pool.
Oh my god!
Our mutual friend went, "Why have you got a massive hole in the middle of your chest?"
Jam as well. Jam just seems...
I know. Jam.
The things that people do. Dirty human bastards.
You just don't know, do you? It's like... But a converse to that, when I was a student, one of my mates lived in a shared house, and his girlfriend at the time bought him some of that sort of like Anne Summers chocolate, you know, body spread that is basically like saucy Nutella.
Yeah.
And but he foolishly left it in the kitchen, and then one evening his girlfriend was like, "Ooh, where's the chocolate body spread? Maybe we should get busy with that." And he went, "Oh, I left it in the kitchen." He went to the kitchen, he found it had been opened, it had got crumbs in it, and his housemates had just been using it as chocolate spread on their toast.
Oh gosh. I'd love to find out that if one of those, it's one of those things where if you have too much of it, it has a terrific laxative effect. And those freeloading like faux Nutella stealers have just been like parping their way around the house for the rest of the day.
Isn't that supposed to be the case with Polo mints?
Yes.
They're not laxative if you eat
If you have a whole packet of Polo mints, you'll be...
A whole packet, is it?
Yeah, you'll be airbrushing your way around the house, no problem. You have to stop
I'm
on the
sure
hard
that
shoulder.
I've had a whole. I think I've had a whole. You know.
Do you remember coloured Polo mints?
Yes, they were fruity, weren't they?
Do they still exist, or do they get discontinued? They always used to go a bit sticky in the centre console of your mate's dad's car.
They were very gummy, weren't they? Almost from the off. But as soon as they were opened and the temperature was above about 12 degrees outside, they would just gum together and become a sort of solid pipe of polos.
Stop it. I have to say, they were one of those sweets where I actually never saw them on the shelf for sale. They were always in parents' friends' centre consoles. I'm not actually... To be honest, I don't know what the exterior packaging really looked like because they were always half kind of pulled back.
Yeah, peeled apart. Yeah, yeah.
And I used to maybe reach through and steal one or two or...
Well, that's the thing, but then there's always the risk you couldn't simply steal one or two because they're all gummed together. So
you'd have to steal
the fruity pipe. It looks like you can still buy them.
No, really?
Well, I just typed in fruit polos and you can buy a box of 10 rolls off Amazon. Polo fruits, they're called.
They've been sat in the Amazon... They've been sat in Jeff Bezos' shed for about the last 18 years.
You know, he's got a lock-up. It's not just a shed. He's got a lock-up
He's got a huge lock-up. He was going to send them to space because no twat wanted them, so he was going to put them up there. And he said, "No, I've got an idea. I'm going to wrap them with a load of single-use plastic and then just let them sit for a while."
Yeah, I've got a box the size of a Fiesta, and I'm going to pop this single tube of polos into it before I dispatch it, because that's the Amazon way.
That's a fantastic... You know those revolving cellophane dispensers that people with dodgy cases use at airports?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put 115 revolutions of that round it, just because I'm bored.
Bezos!
And it's like, by the way, guys, on the one hand, I could probably end the use of single-use plastic within 12 months with the wealth that I have. But I'm just going to go into space instead. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Not even proper space. Just
not even proper space.
Just kind of weedy, just the tip space.
It's the peripheral. It's the outer fence of Glastonbury Festival, isn't it? It's not.
I can hear the music, but I can't see anyone.
Yeah. You know. Oh, cheers for that, mate. Yeah, brilliant. What a great use of funds.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You can tell I'm really into space, can't you? Yeah.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you know, exploration and curiosity, inquisitiveness are absolutely foundations of humanity.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we do have to think about the mess that we've made of the place that we live rather than just buggering off to look for new places to live.
Entirely. And, that's my opinion.
I think, didn't Prince William say something like this last week?
He did. It's true. It's like, basically, sweep up the dog's mess on your doorstep before you sweep up the dog's mess that's elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm always conflicted about space exploration because on the one hand, it's really cool and it's fascinating. But I do sort of think, God, that's expensive, isn't it? Should we?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm sort of Schrodinger's twat about this. I want it to both happen and not happen. I can't really.
No, say I think that we should just stop doing it for a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would disagree with the song "Sleeping Satellite" by Tasmin Archer, which I think was bemoaning the lack of trips to the moon after the initial missions there.
If I was an Alan Partridge type DJ, local DJ character, Archer, that would be a song that I'd probably play every other day. I like that song. And it reminds me of exactly a certain point of being at secondary school. Mm. So I have quite fond memories of that, but I don't necessarily agree with the Archer. I have to say, listen.
What happened to her? Because she has a lovely voice. Like, I love that opening bit of that song, because she's got, there's a sort of slight rasp to her voice, isn't there? And I find it very pleasant, but she didn't.
She was a one-hit wonder, wasn't she?
I think so. She's probably one of those people who finds out that, in fact, she has a fairly solid live performance career and can play to medium-sized venues without trouble, but I don't know. I'll stop searching.
Oh, by the way, talking of music, Shake Your Head was a song. It was called Was Not Was.
Shake
Your Head featuring Kim Basinger and Ozzy Osbourne, and it was apparently...
What?
Yeah, it was re-recorded and remixed by Stephen Silk Hurley and it came out in 1992. And it uses a couple of Kim Basinger quotes. One of them was, "Let's go to bed." I remember it because my brother used to listen to it all the time on that side of things. So there you go.
All right, some Tasmin Archer facts for you. Guess how old Tasmin Archer is?
Right now?
Yeah.
60.
Well, you could guess how old she is. She won the Brit Award for British Breakthrough Act in 1993.
93, yeah.
She was already 30 when she won that award, which is old for a pop star, I suppose.
That is, yeah. So she is 60 nearly.
She's 58. Guess where she's from?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Ooh, good guess. No, she's from Bradford.
Is she?
Yeah.
And what happened to her?
Well, her intro on her Wikipedia page is sort of... Tasmin Archer is a British pop singer from Bradford. Her first album, Great Expectations, spawned the hit Sleeping Satellite, which reached number one in the United Kingdom and Ireland. She won the Brit Award for British Breakthrough Act in 1993 and went on to release other albums. So it sort of fizzles out a bit at the end there. It's
other
like,
albums.
You might as well just say blah, blah, blah.
She did some stuff.
She had... Oh, yeah. So then she released a second album called Bloom, but the single from it, the lead single, failed to break the top 40. The album peaked at number 95, and she left her record company, EMI.
Oh, okay.
And then she had another album in the 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has a Sunderland AFC season ticket. Wikipedia is light on Tasmin Archer info, but it seems she does have a website.
But remember, everyone, you don't have to trust Wikipedia because it is fundamentally just made up bobbins most of the time.
It used to drive me nuts sometimes working on TV shows when you get like a research we give you. I've done the research. No, you haven't. You've cut and pasted Wikipedia.
Yes, that's just BS.
There was someone I worked with who used to put together information and would sometimes forget to delete the hyperlinks from the Wikipedia thing they'd pasted into a Word document.
Yeah.
Sloppy.
That's really sloppy.
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh, like I said, because it'll start me dieseling. A friend of mine had a 6-year-old, really good condition Volkswagen Transporter that he took to a VW dealer to have a normal annual oil service. And apparently they overfilled it. And in traffic, it started dieseling, and it dieseled itself to oblivion and totally killed itself, even set itself on fire. Yeah, and VW just went, yeah, it's not our fault, sorry. He was fucking furious.
I'm not surprised.
He used to worship it at the best of times, but obviously took it to main dealers and things. Yeah, lost the whole van.
Crikey.
Dead. Yeah, that was... And now all he does, he walks everywhere, he doesn't trust cars now, and he only listens to Tasman Archer.
Cuts a very lonely figure.
Yeah.
In a number of ways.
Yeah, oh absolutely.
You know what I say about my mate's nearly new Mini in the 90s that used to run on, and to such an extent sometimes, because he used to let me drive it.
Okay.
When we were students. And sometimes you could take the key out and you would have the key in your hand, not in the ignition, and it would be dunk, 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 doing an incredibly low, lumpy idler. You'd have to just stall it to make it stop.
Yeah.
But I subsequently, many years later, met a bloke who used to work at Rover Powertrain, and I happened to mention this to him, and he went, oh, yeah, those late A-series, the blocks were so rough by then. The bores used to have ripples in them, effectively. And over time, bits of carbon would build up in these sort of minute ripples in the bores, and then they would sort of be hot and catching fire and just allowing the engine to keep sort of this sort of spluttering death turn that would keep them chugging on. Yeah, I'm not explaining it very well, but he was an engineer. He explained it perfectly. But this was the gist of it. There's carbon build up in imperfections in the bore walls. That would allow it to keep chugging was part of the problem. It was just basically the machinery was so worn out for the A series by the time it was coming to the end of its life. That was the gist of it.
Good old school A series.
Yeah. Very quiet engines on idle, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are, actually.
Uncannily quiet idle. They make a lot of noise going, but that's often, it's just the gears. It's the gearbox, isn't it?
The gearbox is the one.
In sump, whines like a motherfucker on Metros and Minis, but... but they're actually quite quiet and smooth engines.
I'll take an imp every time. Do you know what? I'll take an imp every time.
Well, they're the opposite, aren't they? They don't really do anything until you're doing 7,000 revs. But...
Oh, give me an imp. I've never owned an imp. I've got to own an imp.
I have a weird hankering for an imp every so often. I just think that they are quite brilliant. Cool, aren't they? Are you driven one?
Yeah, I've driven stock and hot, and
me too.
They are fantastic. If someone said you could have a really warmed over imp or a warmed over mini, it would be no contest for me. No contest.
I think you could have both, couldn't you? It'd be nice because they're quite different.
Very different temperament of a car. Yeah, completely.
The modified one that I drove was really impressive because it felt incredibly planted on the road.
Yeah.
It really felt sort of, as my colleagues at Evo sometimes say about 911s, they say they feel keyed into the road. It just felt absolutely locked down tight. And then I was driving it with the owner in the passenger seat, and he kept bollocking me for not using enough revs. Because I was thinking, it's an old car and the owner is sitting next to me. Don't be a dick and thrash it. But he was like, no, don't change up now. Leave it. Go, go, go. And it was extraordinary when you did.
Yeah.
Really, really racy little engine.
Well, I suppose, like with a lot of engines, we know their issues now, so the aftermarket's allowed you to kind of finish the R&D that Roots Group didn't. It's like Triumph Slags and all those sorts of cars where they weren't resolved. Yeah. They weren't funny. Triumph Doggershite Sprint, you know, all those things.
Yes.
They analysed...
the cooling system of a Stag on that Flansted program for the love of cars, and they found, I think they found that basically some of the cooling runs within the block were just sort of too
blocked.
Small. No, well, that's the thing. I think they're so small that they're easily blocked, but also just when they're running free, they should really be bigger, but you can now compensate for this with, you know, a better fan for a start and a better rad and all this sort of stuff. I forget now. But hey, though, since we're talking about cars, last week I did a big journey in a Porsche Taycan, and I've never driven one before.
I've never driven one before at all.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I've never driven a Taycan. And for that very reason, I mentioned this to a chap at Porsche, and he said, oh, well, we'll get you into one.
I thought you'd driven one, but just not for very far.
I borrowed a Taycan 4S. So sort of that's the mid, isn't it? There's a basic, and then there's the 4S, and then there's the Turbo and Turbo S.
That's right.
So it's the sort of mid-range model. And this one had the optional larger battery pack, which I think is 93 kilowatt hours, something like that. What an impressive car, though.
Yeah.
I left London with 100% battery.
Yeah.
And I was going to the Lake District near Keswick.
Keswick, and I think, bastard.
If I'd have babied it a bit more, and I didn't, I mean, a lot of there's chunks of the M1 and the M6 that have got average speed sort of 50 or 60, and obviously that plays to electric car's strengths, doesn't it? You whack it on the cruise and you just sit there, kind of, they're happy at that.
Yeah,
very true. But when it wasn't that, I was doing normal sort of motorway speeds, and I think if I'd sort of eased off a bit, we could have made it to our destination on one charge.
Oh, that's cool.
It is, we needed to stop anyway. It was time to grab a bite and have a slash. So stopped at... I'd already earmarked. I thought, well, there's a very fast charger in near Wigan. We could go there and then it'll be, as you know, it'll be quick. I missed that. I missed the turning.
Of course, it always happens.
Yeah, so then always. I was like, oh, screw it, we'll just keep on going. And then I was with a mate and we'd figured from Zapmap there was another fast charger just near Preston, just by the motorway junction. So we pulled off, and in the car park of a Starbucks, there's an Eon fast charger. I've never used one of these before, but it's one of these, you know, you just swipe your card and off you go.
Yeah, I've used one of them.
Holy crap, it's fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a charger so fast. I mean, I suppose part of it is also the car. The car can take as fast as the charger can give. And the charger makes a right old, you know...
It does.
It gets going. There's a lot of electricity moving about.
Liquid cooled cables and the very thick, heavy cables.
Yes.
Did you find that I think there's a bit of competition going on between the baristas and the rapid charging installers? Because I think that they're like, right, I reckon we can get this car to 80% charge before the barista's done all of its boring, drawn-out coffee preparation.
Yeah. Coffee dicking about.
Yeah, so therefore it's disproving this theory of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, all you got to do is have a coffee and go to the toilet and then it'll be probably nearly there. Actually, it's probably already there, but by the time you've finished telling them what's going on... I went into one of those Starbucks, and I don't do the drive-through thing because I think drive-throughs are for twats. So I walked in. Well, it's for people that just want to sit there and burn through their £1.45 a litre diesel, which is just absurd. So I just walked in, I got served, and I thought she was talking to me all the time, but she wasn't. She was talking to the headset.
Yes.
Of all the people behind in the queue wanting to get drive-through related refreshments. Yeah. And it was quite disconcerting. Thing. And in the end, I said to her, I said, I don't know how you do it. This is, you know, this was like 8 o'clock in the morning, might have been earlier. So the amount of multitasking you're doing is just, I couldn't even do this in the middle of the day, let alone right now.
Well, she probably has had a free bucket of coffee to get her going, hasn't she, I assume.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
She sort of smiled at me, but it was that smile of like, yeah, I think you're just taking the piss out of me. But I wasn't. I wasn't taking the piss out of her at all. If I was her, I would have just, I'd love to have just grabbed the headset and just gone, everyone that's queuing up, I'm not going to serve you. If you just want to go and park up and walk in, that would be great. Thank you.
We'll just go on. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. One flat white. Okay. And do you want me to spit in that? What?
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you want sugar in that? Yeah. Well, I have to say, I was very impressed with the Eon fast charger, and it, in the time it took me and my mate to eat a sandwich and go back and order a coffee, it had gone from about sort of 20% to 90%. And you know, that last 20% always slows down, doesn't it? So
yeah.
So that was what really impressed me. I glanced at it and it was at 80, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go and get a coffee, and when I come back, I bet it'll be like 81 because it'll be slowing now. And no, it has rocketed up to 90%. So,
that's impressive.
Off we went. Made it to our destination, loads of miles left. But then during our long weekend away, I went down into Keswick to the supermarket where I'd noticed there's some InstaVolt chargers. And I thought,
I'll whack it
on there while I'm in the supermarket grabbing a few things.
Yeah.
And then it'll be fully juiced up for the return trip home, because it was already at 50-odd percent, I think.
Yeah.
And the InstaVolt chargers wouldn't talk to the Taycan.
Really?
They were playing silly buggers. Yeah, I tried three of them and they were all just being twats. So
that's a shock,
no,
because
dice.
I've never had a problem with InstaVolt. I've always found them to be the most painless.
I remember you talking very highly of them, and I've heard other people recommending them, but no. And I was so delighted. I was like, this is where, you know, there needs to be more of this stuff now. I'm in a fairly remote Cumbrian town, but in the supermarket car park, there's a whole row of InstaVolt chargers. Yay. And, yeah, not working, which is fine. I had loads of range. So in the end, we went back to on the way home, back to London, went back to my old mate, the Eon charger near Preston. And again, in the time it took us to have a sausage sandwich and a coffee for breakfast, it had juiced itself up. And then we made it back to London with miles to spare. I think also, that car being quite low, it's your frontal area.
It's a slippery shaped car, the Taycan. You know, it's got that gecko face.
It has got a gecko face.
And it's a very, very low drag car. And you can notice that when you've got it on the motorway, it's sort of like, let's say, sort of 68 mile an hour, something like that, 70. You can just be hovering on the throttle, not on cruise control, just hovering. And it will coast so much easier than a lot of other cars.
That's what I noticed.
It's an arrow.
Yeah, and it just glides. It just keeps
going. It's a glistening arrow, Richard.
Very impressive car. The only thing, I've just written a column about this for the next Evo, but the only thing that I thought, it's still impressive, is I took it for a drive. There's some lovely roads up there and around the lakes, and it was a beautiful day, and I went for a bit of a drive around just to see, you know, what it was like. If you treat it like a sports car, it's got loads of grip, and it goes like a bastard.
Yeah,
but it is a little bit one note. Because you're not changing gear even with paddles. You're just sort of sitting there. It's got one of the things which I love, and which all electric cars had, is it's got just a button on the steering wheel that toggles the regen braking on and off.
Yes.
And I wish more electric cars had that, because it's just really nice. So you can, I know some of them
got paddles,
like that,
most of them.
Yeah, that Isotonic 5 that I had the other day had the paddles, and that's good. But if you're not going to give us the paddles, just an on-off, some way of easily putting the regen level up or down is great. And but apart from that, you're not really doing anything. And although very impressive, it's not. You know, I'd have been having a lot more fun in like my 911 or something. So it's really good for an EV, but it's not really good for a Porsche in terms of sort of, you know, pure back road driving pleasure.
But that's why you just have both, though, isn't it? That's why you have.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I would have a base model, large battery, rear wheel drive Taycan, because that's the best one I've ever driven. No word of a lie. As in a Porsche that I would use every day.
Yeah.
As an electric car, big battery, rear wheel drive. And hardly any options. It was a wonderful car. And then I'd have a GT3.
Yeah.
For a weekend car. Because then that's like, well, you know, realistically, I'm never going to be driving a GT3 every day. I kind of love to, but realistically, I'm not going to. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, I'll just do that. And you know what? The amount of money I would save by having a base model Taycan rather than a Turbo S or a Turbo,
which
I just don't think you need. It's a too, like the RS e-tron Audi, it's a wonderful car, but it's too wide to take down any of the back lanes that I would want to hustle quickly down. Therefore, I'd rather have less power, less firepower, and save my money and actually put that into pistons.
No, fair enough.
Just have a better, you know, have a more efficient EV. But I think they've done a good job.
I was staggered by it. I mean, that's the thing, notwithstanding that it's, you know, it is superb for an EV, but I think it's sort of, it is a bit one note if you want to treat it like a sports car down some really nice back roads. But as an overall everyday car, it's really impressive.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how low you sit.
You sit really low, yeah.
You sit as low as in my 911. You drop down into it, and but it's still got batteries in the floor.
I know, it feels a bit like a visual illusion, like you're being tricked, don't you? When you say it's a bit one note, is it like a didgeridoo?
Or a vuvuzela?
Yeah, because you can do all the tongue curling you like, but it still bloody sounds the same.
Fundamentally, it just goes, oh.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's always somebody at college, always, or secondary, that gets a didgeridoo and has one of those straps that they put on their back as if they're some sort of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, but with white man's dreads.
Yes, and it's there was a lad at my university who was exactly like that.
With white mask on.
He used to wear, and he used to wear like really sort of rough woven ponchos and things as well.
Oh, yeah, completely, completely. I mean, they look itchy. You don't want to
really
be
really itchy.
You don't want to be within really 8 feet itchy. Of the bastards. Yeah. But they're really
one of those double-ended drums. We're not very good at knowing the names of drums on this show, are we? Because we
Bodhran.
Yes, it's
double-ended drum.
Double. You know the ones I mean.
Don't make me laugh.
Kind of like Hessian at the side. Just back to that Taycan briefly, because the other thing, the one thing that did, because I went, oh, this is great. This is really, you know, as an everyday car, and I can get the kids in the back and everything. I just thought, oof. But the Taycan S basic is 83,500.
Yeah.
The one I borrowed was £105,000.
Yeah.
With options on it. And some of the options really. So I noticed in the menus it's got one of those sound synth things.
Yes.
And which it's is quite cool because it's kind of, it's sort of, it's got the whoa thing, but underneath it at low speed, it drops in a growl as well, like a petrol engine. And it's quite amusing.
Yeah.
But I then discovered that it's a £354 option. And I just think you wouldn't pay money for it. It's not that good.
Your Jag I-Pace had one, didn't it?
It did, which was standard. And you could do different settings. And I just switched it off.
Did you? So you never had it on ever?
I first got the car, I played around with it, and then just went, actually, nah. It was amusing, but actually what I like about electric cars is how quiet they are. I don't really need that.
Absolutely, I agree. Silence is golden.
The VW E-Up has that little sort of, it feels like a recording of a petrol up. They've put in a little sort of three-cylinder growl.
Have they? God, yeah. I don't remember that.
Just at low speed, and it's quite nice. Don't mind that so much because it was quite subtle.
I'm surprised that a band like U2 haven't done a deal with the manufacturer where it just plays U2
volume. No option to turn it off. Drop it into your car.
It's very low volume. So even if you've got other music on, it's still also playing U2 at very low volume.
Of love. Oh, God.
It's free download. Car. Oh, I didn't want it. Can you take off? Can you take the Bono off? No, I can't. Sorry.
I've just been writing about that Fiat 500e, and that plays music at low speed, doesn't it, on the outside? Instead of just that kind of wah, wah, wah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
It plays the music from a Fellini film.
That's right.
So, nice touch.
Yeah, the low speed, the mandatory kind of pedestrian warning strange noises, I find them quite annoying. That my Zoe's got quite an audible one, and it does sound a bit like the high-end IKEA one. It does sound like a choir of dead people.
The choir of the dead.
If you follow people around on Halloween, I swear, if I was to drive around really slowly, it does just sound like a chorus of death. And I don't know if I want that from an EV. I'm like you. I quite like the. I'm enjoying the silence. To quote a Depeche Mode track, I'm very much enjoying the silence of the EV. Then I choose what noise I want to make.
My old Nissan Leaf had the noise, but you could turn it off. And I don't think they let you turn it off anymore, do they? Because you're basically turning off a safety feature.
True. So the e-Golf I had, you could do the same. You could just manually override it, which I used to. And then sometimes people used to say, oh, that's just irresponsible. I'm like, no, it's irresponsible if you step out in the road and don't look. So anyway, on to the next question.
Do you know, I'm going to play this because I don't think it's going to breach any copyright. On the Fiat website, they have a generic electric car sound that you can compare to the sound of the 500e.
What?
You hear this? Yeah. This is...
Yeah, that's... There you go. That's sort of chorus of dead people.
Yeah. No, it won't stop doing it.
Ooh. Interesting, isn't it? It is interesting.
That's what the 500E does.
I do like the 500E. I know we appear to be talking about the same cars every podcast at the moment. We're going to have to mix
it up. Did we talk about
the
500E? I don't know. We didn't talk about the Taycan. I was going to...
No, we didn't talk about the Taycan. We talked about its brother, didn't we? The RSE Twan GT.
Yeah. And I was going to say last week just about the Hyundai Isotoniq 5 that I wasn't sure about it initially, but I ended up really liking it and I thought it was actually a very good car of its type, loads of room inside and all of that sort of stuff, and everybody seems to like the way it looks.
Yeah.
So it's probably...
it's a winner.
I discovered, you know, I said I saw a black one, it looked absolutely gash with those silver arches on it. Apparently the base model has black arches, and I think that would probably look a lot better on... and would probably date a bit less.
Oh, that I've got time. I've got a lot of time for an Isotoniq 5. I'm thinking of buying one.
I know.
Guys, I've told you, I know.
Guys, look. Listen
hey, guys.
Look.
Oh, I forgot to say, on my desk, you know, I've told you before, I've got a couple of like little Corgi Matchbox Hot Wheels toys just that I've accrued over time.
Yes.
Well, my my grandma gave away, she had a shoebox full of Matchbox and Corgi toys that she's had in the understairs cupboard of her house since we were two or three. And she's finally realised that all of the grandkids are too old for it. So she said, oh, do you want any of these? I know you used to play with them all the time, Jonathan. So she gave me first dibs. This was a while ago and I just totally forgot to tell you. And she's been quite unwell lately, so I thought I've been thinking about her a bit more. And anyway, she gave me the option of having her go on, and I got three of them. One of them was a Batmobile BMW, which has seen it's got a few paint marks damage on it and things, but I think that will go through Bonhams for a couple of hundred grand. So I got that one.
Is this the toy car equivalent of a barn find?
Yeah, well, this is loft find. Yeah, there's definitely loft find. But this one made me chuckle. This is I've got it in front of me. This is a Corgi Junior's Porsche 917.
Mm.
It's silver with yellow tinted glass.
Yeah.
And it's part of the series called Growlers. So it's called a Porsche 917 Growlers. And it's because it does this. I don't know if you can hear this. When you push it along, it's got a little toothed wheel underneath with a flappy paddle, a sort of thing used to attach to your bike with a clothes peg to make it sound like a motorbike. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. And that is that's the very realistic sound, my friends, of a Porsche 917. Ready?
Wow.
But that is the Corgi Junior Growler series.
We stood next to a Porsche 917 as it started up at Goodwood a while back, didn't we?
And oh, yeah.
I don't remember it sounding like that. I do remember it sounding like a small portal into another world had opened up.
I reckon if it had sounded sort of like that, I reckon sound. Gunther and Hans would have dived for the off button and gone, right, something from a distributor's fallen down inside a hole. We need to...
It's running on one. That's cool. That has reminded me, my mate Giles Chapman, prolific motoring author and archivist, has got a new book out. It's called Britain's Toy Car Wars, The War of Wheels Between Dinky, Corgi and Matchbox. And it's about, you know, the heyday of toy cars and the battle between them. I haven't read it, I haven't seen it, but I saw Giles plugging it the other day and I thought that looks really interesting. So
I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, I thought I would buy that as well.
There's a lot of good car books about at the moment.
Well, yes.
Is that just seamlessly led me on? Have I just seamwelded my way into a... you can plug it halfway through, Rich. Be different, mate. It's different this
Boring
week.
Car Trivia 3 is coming out hopefully this week. And we're just finalising some details. I've had... an excellent car artist called Russ Wallace, who some people might be familiar with on Twitter, does beautiful illustrations of various cars, you know, sort of favours kind of like good old retro sort of 80s, 70s stuff, but does all manner of things. And he's done a sort of wallpaper for the cover for me. which has a theme. It's abstract parts, line drawings of abstract parts of cars that have three in their name, and it's really good.
And looking forward to this.
So it's like a little added guessing game for car nerds that you can play with the cover. And yes, it's going to be out, and it's bigger than the last two. It's sort of like a third bigger again than the last one, I think. So it's packed full of boring facts. I'll be mentioning it.
Will it be out? It'll be out in readiness for Christmas, will it?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, that's definitely a thing that's coming that might be a time when you could ask for someone to buy it for you rather than buy it for yourself, or just buy it for yourself. I mean, you know, it's not expensive.
I know. I always think I'll put that on the list of.
Well, I do. I saw Giles' book and I went Christmas list because you know hard to buy for, so you might as well have something you can throw into the mix. Yeah. But that's. Now, I wanted to...
Guys, listen.
Guys.
Guys,
I wanted to read out a story that we were sent... Well, it was actually put onto our Patreon comments section by a chap called Martin. Martin is... the man who bought the Escort with the two Sade CDs in the changer. And the man who subsequently came to the live show in Leicestershire and appeared, like he was wearing biker leathers.
Like a Terminator.
Like some kind of robot from the future. Yeah. To give us beautifully wrapped gifts, which turned out to be identical Sade albums. And Martin, it turns out, the Sade albums are just the tip of his anecdotal iceberg because he sent this story in which is absolutely remarkable. He says, for the first 6 months of 2000, I had to commute from Sneats in Cambridgeshire to Cardigan in West Wales. It's a 308-mile journey if you go A1, M4, A48.
What, a day?
I don't know.
No sure way.
Hang on, what? Anyway, he says, this, the last chunk of the commute was quite entertaining, especially in the lovely azure blue Lotus Elise I had at the time. A colleague of mine had to make the same journey in his Impreza Turbo, and with us both being 20 years old and carrying natural stupidity of Himalayan proportions, this developed into a time trial. Every week it was a competition of who could set the best time. I could just about do the journey on a single tank in the Elise, and once I realised that, then it was a matter of seeing where else I could cut time out of the journey. Stopping to eat? Not a chance. Stopping to stretch my legs? Ha, no, I'm young and flexible. Stopping for a slash? I'm 20, and my bladder could probably hold more piss than the Elise could hold fuel.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it would under normal circumstances. It didn't on the day I decided to neck a 750ml bottle of Oasis Citrus Punch while traversing the M25. In hindsight, this was a poor choice for an endurance commute. This became more clear the further west I went along the M4, but I was determined to make it to Cardigan without wasting valuable time pissing in a hedge. As each junction passed, the pressure grew, the concentration fading and replaced by thoughts of waterfalls and babbling brooks. I became paranoid that everyone on the radio was taunting me. And there's the Moody Blues with Running Water. And now over to our interview with the lead guitarist from Guns N' Roses, etc., etc. I wasn't going to give in.
Oh,
I decided to deal with the
it.
Situation. I still had the empty Oasis bottle. If 750ml went in, then 750ml is going to come out, isn't it? On a very straight section of the M4, which, let's face it, is most of it, I unzipped, positioned the Oasis bottle between my legs, and pushed it up so that the bottle aperture met with my winkle, creating a decent, safe seal. I imagine sort of like how a shuttle docks with the ISS. The relief, the sweet relief. It was so good. This was excellent pissing. Oh, dear.
Stop it.
It was. Hang on. Martin continues. It was excellent for roughly the first 300ml anyway. My brain neglected to take displacement into consideration. With a perfect seal to avoid spillage, there was nowhere for the air to go. The bottle started to feel quite pressurised as the dawning realisation of physics came into play. With the reluctance at the forthcoming depressing inevitability, I tilted the bottle downwards to create a tiny opening to relieve the pressure.
Oh, no. No.
It sounded a bit like a party popper, as the cramped interior of the Elise was filled with steaming hot atomised piss.
Oh,
no. It was all over my T-shirt, the seat squabs, the footwells, the driver's side window and sills, and most of the way up my right arm.
It was that pressurised?
Everywhere.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. It's like a fire extinguisher of Waz.
Exactly. Martin says, I didn't have enough eyes to take it all in and continue pissing. Oh, and to do that whole driving thing, which somehow seemed less important now. I didn't stop, though. I finished my business, capped the bottle, and left it stood up in the passenger footwell.
He didn't stop driving.
Drove the rest of the way to Gardigan in a piss-soaked Elise. Finally stopped at a garage, bought a big pack of wet wipes, and cleaned the interior as best I could. If anyone reading this has ever bought Elise chassis number 8004 and wondered why there was a faint smell of seafood and fairground hot dogs on hot summer days, now you know why.
Oh, sorry. Man. Oh, funfair hot dogs. And
Can't believe steaming hot atomised piss. Thank you, Martin. That's an incredible, if slightly unsettling story.
I love that story.
A solemn warning to other listeners to think twice before attempting to wee into a bottle.
I will tell you one day.
Fast moving car.
I will tell you my bottle Waz fail story one day. But unfortunately, it's a sensitive matter. It involves a newly born child and my wife being in the car.
Oh my God.
So it was just double disaster. It was something that should have never been attempted. Oh, and actually, come to think of it, it was in a Porsche as well. So, yeah, I probably shouldn't say that on the public. So, anyway, that leads me perfectly into a letter that I would like to read out before we finish this session. And this one's from a listener in New Zealand, Alan.
Okay.
Alan McCormick. Hi, Mr. Smith. Hi, Mr. Porter. Got to say, really enjoyed the recent Bond car bingo. Brilliant. Thought you might be interested in an experience I had back in New Zealand when trying to sell a 1988 Mitsubishi Galant VXR, white four-wheel steer, four-wheel drive Japanese import thing back in the early 90s.
Hmm.
I took said car to a private car sale meeting in Auckland, as I lived in another small town and I hoped to capitalise on the extra number of potential buyers. After sitting around for most of the morning, having no luck selling the unit, I love that, the unit, I thought the day was a bust, and I was about to call it a day when along came two absolutely massive, those capital letters, Maori blokes covered in tattoos, sporting their affiliated gang patch leathers. Now me, being white of slight build and completely inept in any form of martial art, thought I was not only going to die, but these two fine gentlemen were about to run over my dead corpse in the process of stealing my own car. Surprisingly, they were both very friendly and articulate in their desire to purchase what they called a cool car, bro. After some quick negotiations on price, we headed off in pursuit of a money machine. You remember those things that spat money out from a hole in the wall? As I sat in the back of my car and my two friends took up every single bit of room in the front seats, I realised that these money machines only allocated a certain amount of every day. Certainly not enough to cover agreed price of car. Subsequently, I spent the next 3 hours driving to areas of Auckland that only Jake, the Mus of Once Were Warriors fame, would ever step foot, so that these two individuals could find the money that they owed. One of the said addresses comprised of 8-foot solid fencing with barbed wire along the top, 2 times broken down 68 and 72 Chrysler Valiant Regals, 4 times...
Great detail.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 4 times Harley Davidson Softails and a dozen or so gang members, each one bigger than the other gentleman escorting me about. Oh, and I forgot about the Rottweiler jumping up my window, thankfully restrained by a 12-foot chain. BB1 and BB2, short for Bloody Big Person 1 and 2 individuals, poked their heads in the front windscreens, in the front windows, to converse with my kidnappers. They took one look at me in the back seat and went off laughing. I swear one of them crossed his neck with his hand, a gesture of off with his head. 10 minutes later, the assailants returned with a wad of dirty/grubby notes, opened by door, and then opened my door and dumped them in my lap to count. By my quick calculation of the hoard, we were still shy of about $1,500. Off we went again to another gang house and extracted another $200 from a semi-naked sumo wrestler guy wearing thongs, flip-flops and a bum bag. This went on for several hours at different addresses, and on each occasion I was scrutinised or gawped at and basically feared for my life. When we'd finally acquired the required funds, they asked me where I would like to be dropped off. My first and my only thought was self-preservation. Find somewhere public with lots of people around. The story ends with me, fully intact, standing outside the casino in downtown Auckland with a wad of $10 and $20 notes in hand and pockets, waving my car goodbye and hearing Hot House Flowers I Can See Clearly Now belting out on the stereo. Damn, I've forgotten to take that disc out of the player. My wife will kill me. It's her favourite band. Thank you, Alan. Well, there we go. So Alan didn't get killed by gangs, but he sold his car to gang members who basically just went round borrowing lots of money in small increments.
Or did they? Or reclaiming debts?
Ah, debts.
That's what I was wondering. Is it like they were going around going, you owe me $1,000, mate, and now is the day you're going to give it to me because I've got a car outside that I'm in the process of buying?
I wonder if anyone's ever sold a car to, like, the Craze when they were in the middle of their collections round. They go, look, we really want to buy it, yeah, but just come with us.
Lovely Jag Mark 10 here, mate. Do you want it? Yeah, I'll be taking that as well. Thank you very much.
I do want that, but if you just come with me for a little bit, we've just got to meet a couple of people. We'll sort you out. That'd be brilliant. Well, there we go. So he thought he was going to die, but Alan didn't die. He just lost his wife's CD and went on a bit of a tour of Auckland Backpatch Club members.
That does sound quite frightening. There we go. If you have any frightening car sales transaction stories, do drop us a line. hello@smithandsniff.com. Car piss accidents.
Yes.
Use your judgment on that. I mean, just if you want to send us a story, then
exploding smoothie bottles.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we do. We've had a few good exploding items, usually food.
Basically anything, because all your
just
letters
anything.
Are,
we like stories. We get, yeah, we will. We always say this, we'll do a full show of just your stories, because we do get some really good ones and we do read them all. I promise. It's just that we've been a bit useless at replying for various reasons to do with busyness with other things and Johnny having Lurgy.
Rona.
The Rona.
On that side of things, yeah, I'm afraid me and my wife have been quite ill. We're far behind on our work-related matters at the moment. So if you could just do us a favour, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and go and buy a ticket to come to the Manchester tour, the Late Break Show tour, the third tour, which will be on the 6th of November. Indoors, at what the artist formerly known as the GMEX, as Richard would call it.
Yep.
And it's going to be an eclectic car show where we'll have a live Q&A, live car quiz and an idle chat. And it'll be wonderful to have you all there. We've gone to great efforts to try and make this venue happen. So hopefully we've booked it so they will come. Go to thelatebreakshow.com/ Manchester.
There we go.
Please. Otherwise, and I'm going to bring, I'll bring my 917 Growler.
Good. Well, we should probably wrap this up while we're still both able to speak. And I'll finish with three things that I have to tell you. One of them is that Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show. But you know that by now. And you also know, because he's just told you, that on Saturday the 6th of November, The Late Break Show live fetches up in Manchester. Please come along. It's going to be great. Two, I have various books out. And as I've also already mentioned, Boring Car Trivia 3 is out this week. So dive in there, my friends. And the third thing I have to tell you is that the emergency systems on Apollo 13 that saved the astronauts' lives were designed in part by Jack Black's mum.
What, Jack Black the comedian?
Yeah.
Really?
His mum was literally a rocket scientist or something of that ilk. Yeah.
That's brilliant. For NASA. Wow.
Yeah. So it's only natural that he would go into comedy after that. He's following his family
school of rock lineage. Never gets boring.
Never. There was a period when Channel 4 seemed to show it sort of every month, and if I happened to catch it, I would just be powerless not to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, me too.
It's such a brilliant, heartwarming film.
It is a great film.
My wife would be like, didn't you just watch this? And I'd be like, yeah, but my capacity to watch it again is up there with, I don't know, Live and Let Die.
48 Hours.
Blues Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, I watched Spinal Tap. The Blues Brothers is on a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
I took some DVDs away. I went away. The reason I went up to the lakes in that Taycan was because I was going away walking with some old university mates, and which we try and do every year, COVID permitting. And I took a bunch of DVDs because I thought of an evening we'll sit around and we'll have a beer, a glass of wine, and we can watch some films that we all like. And it was the first rented house I've ever stayed in that didn't have a DVD player.
Wow.
I thought it was the law that rented cottages had to have at least a DVD player or maybe a VHS player and a selection
of
retro VHS tapes. But no, nada, nothing. So I'd taken Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which I
that was brilliant.
Really looking forward to watching again, even though I saw it a few months ago. The older I get, the less schmaltzy I find the ending.
Really. I very much like that film. That's a good one.
It's a brilliant film.
The Great Outdoors is another one that's of that. I've not seen that one for a while.
Not on my multi-watch list, but maybe it should be. Anyway, we'll do this all again next week when hopefully we'll be both back to full health. And I think, not next week. Well, I was going to say, there's a thing. We did a thing last week, didn't we, that we're not allowed to talk about for a couple of weeks. And I think we still can't do it next week because there's an embargo and we signed an NDA. So anyway, sorry, that's just carrot dangling nonsense. But it will make sense when we can finally discuss a thing that we were allowed to see. okay, well, on that frustrating note, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Live from Death's Door, it's Johnny Smith.
Just got to pull the choke out a bit and be all right. Oh, squirt a bit of easy stuff.